Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to start the show today by talking about gratitude with our first guest. She is Crystal Wendelberger, writer, communications consultant from Milwaukee, and her book is called Mindful Gratitude, Practicing the Art of Appreciation. She looks at how we can find magic in everyday things, celebrate even in times of loss, and become happier in the life you and I lead. Have you found comfort in being appreciative of the little things? Do you try to be grateful for what you have? Love to hear from you and how gratitude affects your life. You can give us a call. That number is 1-800-642-1234. You can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. And Crystal Wendelberger, welcome.
Thank you so much, Larry. Thanks for having me.
I really enjoyed reading your book and all the experiences that you've had, and Mindful Gratitude, I think, is a pretty good title for it. But what was there a single event that inspired you to write this book?
Well, I don't know if it was just one single event, but there was, there was a point in my life where I really became inspired to do this. It was about 11 years ago. My dad, who we all loved a lot, was diagnosed with very aggressive terminal cancer. And at the same time, I became pregnant with our third child, and he was a little bit of a surprise. The other two were in school, and we thought we were moving on to a new phase of life. So I was a little bit like everything was a bit topsy-turvy. And shortly after our baby George was born and my dad was getting pretty sick, a friend brought a meal to the house. And when she brought that meal, I just cried because I was so grateful to have it. And I realized that my ability to feel gratitude, even when things weren't quite going the way that I expected them to go or wanted them to go, was something that could save me from really going over the edge of darkness. And I think it's there for all of us, and it's so accessible.
Yeah. So how has being appreciative changed your life?
Well, I think that, as I like to say, there is some magic in all of it. And I think I'm a deep thinker. I like things that are meaningful. And I think that just by really looking at what we have and looking at how life comes together and recognizing that we're never alone is something that just I find to be supportive in my everyday life. Yeah. So in other words, just sitting in this studio with you and sort of recognizing the amazing technology that exists in our lives, that, you know, we have the opportunity to listen to radio, to watch television. So many people are behind these technologies.
Behind all that.
Yeah. Behind all of that. And just really recognizing that. So even if I were home alone and sick and I was able to realize that lots of people were actually working to support me in terms of allowing me to have access to interesting radio programming. It just, I think it's something that can consistently connect us to one another. I think gratitude is, it's more than positive thinking. You know, positive thinking is just sort of, okay, I'm going to buck up and think positively about things. Gratitude is really about looking deeply to see what you have, and we all have something, and then recognizing how we got it, where it came from, and in that process, we connect to other people naturally because we recognize who's behind those things.
In your book, you give us a whole series of wonderful stories. I really enjoyed reading them. And then you have some reflection points at the end of of each chapter, and I think it was important for you to include those. Talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. Because part of the reason I wanted to write this book was I wanted other people to experience that really big feeling of gratitude, the kind that can save you from difficult emotions and difficult times in your life. And so really the book is, you know, these essays are me sharing my practice with the reader. So as I wrote these stories, you know, details emerged of things that I hadn't even realized and remembered, and things get clearer sort of as you write. And I want readers to also have that experience. I want you to be able to find your own story. So I say, here's my story. This is one example, but you've got your own story. Everybody has, you know, a million unique stories to tell. So those reflection points are really very intentionally designed for you as the reader to ask yourself some good questions and start to be able to uncover the layers and see the goodness that's in your life and the people who have helped to create that.
Yeah, I thought they were very helpful. I mean, virtually at the end of every chapter, I was thinking about my own experience and how that might relate in a way to the experience that you had just written about.
Yeah.
And made me stop and think quite a bit, frankly. So it was... You did your job for me anyway.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that really was the point. It really is the point. I really want people to be able to dig in and find that place that they maybe were not recognizing. And
yeah, Matt, well, makes good sense. We will take some calls right now. The number for you to join in. What are you grateful for? Have you had a chance meeting, perhaps, with someone that changed your life? What's the most beautiful or insightful thing that someone has said to you? Questions along any of those lines, welcome at 1-800-642-1234. And Ron in Norwalk, thanks very much for waiting, Ron. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning, Larry, and to your guest. I recently lost a loved one, and she suffered from depression all her life, and I know this isn't a program about that, but how can people with depression or other mental illness similar to that, can they develop gratitude? Can they develop appreciation for what they have, or is those diseases just too difficult to work through with that?
Good question.
Yeah, Ron, thank you so much for your question, and I am really sorry for your loss. But it's a great question, and absolutely practicing gratitude can help people who are suffering from depression or anxiety or other mental illnesses. You know, it's a practice of sort of grounding yourself and really taking a deep look at what's around you. And writing can be particularly therapeutic for a lot of people. And there have been studies done on this. So you can do a Google search on gratitude and depression, and you'll find all kinds of stuff. But I'll tell you about one study that followed 300 college students who were receiving mental health services for anxiety and depression. And they split the students into three groups, and they had one group write at least one letter of gratitude each week for 3 weeks. And, you know, even when you're depressed, if you are really pushed to think about it, you can find three people that you're thankful for. And so they were asked to write a letter of gratitude each week for 3 weeks. A second group wrote about their negative feelings and emotions. And then a third group did no writing at all. And the group who wrote gratitude letters had significantly better outcomes 4 weeks and even 12 weeks after the intervention. So
they felt better about themselves?
They did, and felt better about life. And I think it is, again, when we're grateful, we are recognizing the other people in the world who are supporting us. We're recognizing what's good in life. And, you know, we have a natural bias to see the negative. That's just human nature. It's an evolutionary you know, we're wired. It's a survival mechanism to look for danger and make sure that we're safe. So we really do have to practice looking for the good stuff. And so when we do that, you know, we suddenly recognize, oh, you know, like I'm not feeling so well today, but gee, this coffee tastes delicious, you know, and it gives us just some bump of positivity and positivity that's based in something real,
yeah.
based in real experience, not just sort of a, you know, made up, I want to think more positively about this.
Makes good sense to me. We're talking today with Crystal Wendelberger. She is the author of Mindful Gratitude, Practicing the Art of Appreciation. You know, Gretchen emailed to say that last summer her husband was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer, and after the initial shock, he shifted into a state of complete acceptance, and gratitude then mm-hmm. came easy. He looked at life as a blessing, that it was a great, that their kids were launched, that he had their house in order, that he was diagnosed in the summer, so travel was easy, that mm-hmm. they were able to care for him at home, along with a multitude of other things. And his attitude made all the difference. She said that the most difficult time in their lives was also the most beautiful, and his story changed other lives. And you certainly write about that in relation to your own father.
I do. And again, Gretchen, thanks for your email, and I'm sorry for your loss, but I am really happy for you that you were able to have that experience, because I do write about my experience with my own dad in the book. He also really came to a place of acceptance and gratitude, and was many of the same things that Gretchen said. He was very grateful that he could be cared for at home. He was very grateful that his family was all around him. And for us to see that, I think it really bolstered us and helped us through the grieving process, even, because
yeah.
we recognized that, you know what, this is life. We all are going to pass at some point. And so if you can take the days that you have and find the beauty in each one of them, it just makes it easier to get through that grieving process.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go to Steve in Boulder Junction next. Hi, Steve. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just finished reading a book called Happiness is a Choice You Make, and it talks about many of the same things. There is one little line in the book that I thought kind of summed things up pretty well. The author said, when we are young, we say, I would be happy if only I had more money or a larger house or a better job or a spouse. And these older people that he interviewed, which is kind of the genesis of the book, he is interviewing elderly people who are happy. And they said, almost universally, these older people said, I'm happy in spite of the fact that I have poor health, or in spite of the fact that I have not enough money.
Yeah. A comment on that?
Yeah. So I have also heard about that book, and it sounds like a good one. I think that it speaks to this idea of being grateful for what we have right now. And I think we do tend to strive, and there's nothing wrong with striving, but we do tend to strive and look toward, you know, what we'll have in the future, and, you know, having more money or more things, or, you know, I'll have more peace when I'm, you know, 40, or more peace when I'm 60, or whatever it is. It's you know, it's recognizing what's here right now and appreciating it. So it's, you know, recognizing that your kids, even though they may be driving you nuts, are only going to be this age one time, you know, so appreciate all of the craziness that's in your life now, because at some point it will be over.
And you're going to miss it.
And you'll miss it. Right. And then you'll be at a new point. And so then you can appreciate what's there. You know, I think it's just that recognizing what you have in the moment you have it.
Thanks very much for that call. Crystal Wendelberger, our guest, author of Mindful Gratitude, Practicing the Art of Appreciation. What about you? A story to tell, a question to ask? Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org, or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. I'm Larry Mueller, Jill Nadeau, our producer, Sarah Hopeful, our engineer, right here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Crystal Wendelberger, who is the author of Mindful Gratitude, Practicing the Art of Appreciation. Again, you can join in with your own questions or experiences at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. What are you grateful for? Have you had something that has really affected your life? Love to hear from you. And we'll go back to the phones, and let's go to Wayne in Green Bay next. Wayne, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning. I guess it's afternoon now, but I just wanted to tell you that I learned about gratitude and thankfulness about 8-10 years ago. I was a former thief, and I used to steal stuff from people. And I ended up doing 2 years in prison, and I went from having tons of money and tons of TVs and whatever I needed because of my job, but then also because of what I stole. And I went down to having a little 11-inch or 10-inch black and white TV and a watch that you could see through and stuff like that. And I basically had like a handful of items for 2 years. And I had simple clothes, like a simple pair of jeans, and I could have a pair of tennis shoes, which was cool, and some gray T-shirts and that. I was incarcerated in the state of Wisconsin. Anyway, I was able to take a class there about cognitive thinking, and it made me really appreciate. I did it for 6 months, and I really learned to appreciate all the little stuff. The first thing I did that I really was super appreciative, my mom and dad picked me up, and I went and got a cup of coffee at Quick Trip. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, prison coffee is instant, and it's horrible. And anyway, you learn to appreciate the little things, and I've been living that way ever since. And it's just an amazing feeling, because I used to worry about how big a chainsaw I had, how big a TV, you know, whatever, if I had a swimming pool or if a hot tub or whatever.
You know, thanks so much for calling, Wayne, and sharing that with us. And Crystal, I'm sure you have a comment.
I do. So first of all, Wayne, congratulations for getting through a difficult period of your life and coming out on the other side and coming back to contribute to our society. But, you know, absolutely, it's looking at what you have and sometimes thinking about what you might not otherwise have, which I suspect is what happened for Wayne, realizing like, oh, you know, like a little maybe 10-inch TV is better than no TV at all. And then when he got out, recognizing, oh, this just Quick Trip coffee is delicious, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we do get caught up in that striving for more, when if we stopped to think a little bit about if we had less, what would it be like? I think that can help us to really draw those feelings of gratitude up. You know, even most of us in this country, not all of us, but most of us have enough to eat. We have ways to find enough to eat. We have food pantries and all of that. And we have opportunities to get what we need. And I think just being able to have a meal every day, when you think about literally millions and millions of people around the world who have no meals and no access to them, they're not going to go to a food pantry. I mean, there are really people in our world who are suffering. And I think just to remember that, you know, just the simple things like a cup of coffee or a really good meal make life good.
Katie in Duluth has something for us. Let's go there. Katie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Oh, hi there. I just want to share my experience with thankfulness. And just quick backstory. I have 6 children, and my youngest was born with a very rare disease, and which was scary. I am a Christian. I believe in God, and I'm thankful, but this brought a whole new life to our family. Well, I got a book on thankfulness, and it reminds me of yours. It's called 1,000 Gifts by Anne Boscamp. Mm-hmm. So I set to be thankful every day in little things and write them down like she did. And it changed a lot. But just real quick, we were at the Ronald McDonald House in Rochester for some scary tests. And I went there while reading this book, and time again throughout the day, things that just were very evident gifts and small things. The soda there in the vending machine is 25 cents. You know, okay, big deal. It was to me because I was consciously looking and thinking, how does God bless me in this hard time? And I cried for 25 cent soda because I was thinking that way. And it just is really builds my faith and does bring hope that through people, through situations that are hard, God is blessing me. And I just love it. And I think it's really important.
Well, thank you, Katie, very much for calling. And Crystal, I'm sure you have a comment.
I do. So, Katie, thank you so much for calling. And thank you for sharing a really important aspect of this, because it is about mindset. And so having a grateful mindset, actively looking for the things that are good, can really transform any situation. And I totally understand crying for the 25 cent soda, because it you know, it was just one small thing that somebody had thought of that made your life better. And I just want to make sure I bring this up before we before we're done today. You know, journaling is really an excellent way to develop that grateful mindset. So to sort of make a commitment to writing down the things that you're grateful for and writing about the things you're grateful for, not just writing down lists, but really writing down why. You know, why did the 25 cent soda make you cry? What about that is so great? Who's behind whatever happened to create that situation? It really, really, you know, if you're grateful for your spouse or your children or your colleagues, write down the specific reasons why. You know, what have they done to make your day or your week or your life better? You know, what special trouble has somebody gone to for you? What funny thing did somebody say to you? It's that constant looking that helps you to build that mindset, and then gives you, as Katie found out, the resilience to get through really difficult situations.
Yeah. Ruby emailed us to ask if you would speak to how your writing process shaped your own idea of gratitude. More specifically, did your book impact your visualization of appreciation? For her, gratitude comes through art and therapy, through the artistic process. She's been able to accept the things that she may not be so happy about with the and appreciate the things that she has. Your book is a beautiful work of art, she says.
Well, thank you, Ruby. That's super nice. Yes, I think writing this book actually helped me sharpen my own practice, because, as I said, I decided to write about different events, some of them big, some of them small. You know, things like my parents lost their home to a fire in 1989, and I wrote about that whole experience. And as I wrote about that experience, more and more details about that whole time period became clearer to me, and I was actually more grateful for all of the lessons that I learned after I wrote the story than before. So in the process of writing the book, I definitely sharpened my skills. I also made a much stronger commitment to doing my own regular gratitude journaling. So I feel like if I'm going to go out there and talk about this, I better actually do it. And so since making that commitment, I do have a much more grateful mindset. I'm thinking about it all the time. It's, you know, when I first started, it was like, oh, wow, gratitude really helps me. But now I am, as Katie said, always looking for those opportunities, looking for what's really good right now, what tastes really good, what looks really good, you know, what nice thing has somebody done. So I think that the process of writing the book actually helped me to sharpen my own skills.
And by the way, you actually teach mindful gratitude workshops in the workplace. I wanted to mention that.
Yes.
And so you work with any group, I guess, probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So so organizations will hire me to come into the workplace and actually do an experiential mindful gratitude workshop with employees. And I think that all of us in the workplace are dealing with a lot of stress. I think we've got a lot coming at us. We've got all of our projects, and then we've got email, and we've got phone calls, and we've got, you know, a lot of things beeping at us constantly. So the workshop is really designed as an experiential retreat for people in the workplace. And so I'll come in, and I can do anywhere from an hour to a half day. I suppose I could do longer if somebody wanted a longer session, but we really just settle in. I bring in, you know, just some beautiful flowers. We try to make it relaxing. It's not another training that people mm-hmm. have to be worried about, you know, what they're doing in another training. It's really about giving people the opportunity to practice. So we do talk about some of the science behind gratitude, and we sort of, I try to ground the group in the purpose for practicing. But then we just experience. So I'll read to the group from the book, and I find that adults really like to be read to as much as kids do.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of brings people into a sort of a grateful mindset. And then we actually do some journaling. So everybody gets a journal. I'll turn on some music, and I go through some of the prompts and actually have people do it. Because, you know, it's one thing to read a book and read those prompts and think like, oh yeah, that's nice. I can relate to that. And then it's a completely different experience to actually write. Because in that act of writing, we clarify things for ourselves. We create context for ourselves. We describe things. We tell ourselves our own story. And if we're telling ourselves a positive story, that's a story we can go back to again and again when we're not feeling so well. And one of the things that I've found really interesting is a couple of times I've gone in to do a workshop and had somebody say, I don't like journaling. I never journal. I don't really care for it. I don't know what to write. And I always say, well, you know, just stick with us. Play along. See how you do. And in both instances, those very same people who told me that they really hated journaling, when it was time to journal, they put pen to paper and really, you know, did it. And afterwards said, that felt so good. And I think, you know, sometimes we think about journaling and it's like, oh, I don't know what to say and I'm not a writer. You don't have to be a writer. And what you need to ask yourself are just some good questions. Ask yourself some good questions about your day and the people you know and what happened at work that was good. And then just write without any judgment, without any worries about typos or...
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And how do, by the way, before I forget about this, how do people get your book and, or maybe even to talk with you about a potential workshop?
So please visit my website, www.mindfulgratitude.com, and you'll find a shopping page. You can buy the book. We also sell journals and note cards. We have a really beautiful series of journals and note cards. All of them feature the artwork of Timothy Myring, a Milwaukee artist who owns the Timo Gallery. And the journals, note cards are there. The book is there, T-shirts, and then information about the workshops and how to get in touch with me to set up a workshop at your workplace, at your church, at your community center. Really can be done anywhere.
And it's mindfulgratitude.com.
That is correct.
Well, let's take another call. Michael in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Thanks for waiting, Michael.
Oh, sure. I just completely agree with today's topic, and I've been trying to live this mindset for years, and I've always called it living with an attitude of gratitude. And for me, it was prompted by an experience as a teenager when I acquired a disability. I was in a nearly fatal automobile accident that killed my father and two other people, and left me with a permanent disability. And there's sure been some struggles, but since then, I've always strived to see my life with the cup as half full instead of half empty. in addition to that, having a volunteer experience on a crisis line and my current job working with people with disabilities, I daily get reminded that I've got so much to be grateful for. And whenever things start to look really dark, I just remind myself of where things could have been, and I always find things to be happy about or grateful for.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for calling, Michael. A comment, Crystal?
Wow. Well, Michael, you're an inspiration. Thank you for calling, and thank you for living your life in this way. I'm sure that you are a great example to the people who meet you. And I think that kind of recognizing those people who are examples to us is just another way of being grateful, you know? So if you're wondering, well, what can I be grateful for about today? You know, think about somebody who has been through tough times and who continuously is able to get up and keep going, and let those people serve as an inspiration to you. Michael, your story will for sure stick with me. So thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Sarah in Appleton up next. Sarah, thank you for calling.
Hi, good afternoon.
And what's on your mind?
As a mother of two, I have a 10-year-old and 2-year-old, and I've also just finished my 13th year of teaching. I love the idea of journaling, and I really am just looking maybe for some inspiration or ideas on how to really help younger elementary students kind of build that, as your previous caller said, an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Sarah, for your call and for your interest in this topic. I think that it is pretty easy to get kids to jump on board with this when you give them the right tools. So journaling, again, is just a fabulous practice, and you can have your kids do it at school. You can have your kids do it at home. We have a wonderful 10-year-old son, George, who is a regular writer in a gratitude journal. He just does a fabulous job with it. And it was a little bit, it took a little bit to get him started. But once he got started, he now will actively be looking throughout the day for things that he can write in his gratitude journal. And so I know that he is appreciating the people around him more. He's appreciating the goodness of his life much more. So kids will jump onto this pretty quickly because it's fun. In a classroom, you can do a gratitude jar. So you can have a jar that's sitting on a table, and you can ask kids just to write on scraps of paper something that they're grateful for each day. They can drop it into the jar, and other kids who might be feeling down can always go into the jar, pull something out and read it, and that is a lift for the kids. You can do gratitude circles where you have the kids sit in a circle and literally going around the circle, they say something that they're grateful for, you know, the person who's next to them. And this is a really cool exercise because kids, I think, tend to take each other for granted in elementary schoolroom classrooms. And so it's really amazing to hear what they have to say when they dig in and can have to find something that they really like about the person sitting next to them. And they can always do it. So it's easy to get kids on board.
No.
Sorry, one more thing. No. I think you could do the gratitude journaling in a classroom as well. You know, just carve out 5 or 10 minutes each day and say, we're going to write in our gratitude journals today. So,
and you can give them maybe some specific prompt.
Absolutely.
As you do in your book.
Absolutely. You know, so I guess I'm thinking about, I want to share some of those, you know, prompts with listeners right now, just so that if you get done listening to this program and you want to try some journaling, you know, think about things like, you know, what is your contribution to the world? Every day we go to work and we're doing things, or we're taking care of our families. You know, what are we giving to others, and what does that daily work bring to them? So write about that. Write down some of the details about that. No matter what you're doing, there's definitely somebody or, you know, many people who are benefiting by your work. You know, I think closing your eyes and remembering a really favorite childhood activity, something that, you know, you would do and really lose yourself in, Legos or swimming or whatever it was, just write about that. Write about some of those details. That's an amazing thing to do and brings up a lot of wonderful memories for people. You know, write a short note to somebody who's made a difference in your life, whether it's in a big way or a small way, somebody you've never said thank you to before. This is a really great way to practice. Or even think about somebody whose name you don't know, such as the people who take your garbage away every week. What a huge service those people are doing for us. And yes, they're getting paid, but I don't want to do that job. So I'm really grateful that there are people who want to do that job. You know, so if it's the sanitation people or your mail carrier or whoever takes your coffee order every morning, you know, write it out. Send them a note. Say thank you for what they do.
The best lesson anyone ever demonstrated to you, that was another one. The best lesson you ever learned from a particular individual. I like that one, too.
Yeah, I think just really thinking hard about that. You know, what are some of your really good habits? What are some of the things that were instilled in you as a child, either by your parents or a teacher or a neighbor? You know, think about some of those things. You know, for me, daily exercise was instilled by my parents, and not even by what they said, but by what they did. And recognizing that, wow, for me, exercise is easy, and it's just because my parents taught me to do it. We've all got things like that. You know, did your parents teach you to cook? Did you see, you know, did you see a teacher who had a particular habit that you emulate? Look more deeply at your life, and you'll find more meaning and happiness.
And I as you were talking, I was thinking to a guest I have on next week, Madeline Uranek, who has written a book about a chance meeting. She was at her workplace, and someone was cleaning, and she introduced herself and got talking to that person, and then wound up becoming essentially a member of that Tibetan family.
Mm-hmm.
And how that chance, kind of taking the time to say something to that particular person, resulted in a life-changing experience for her.
Absolutely. And so if you need to start your gratitude journaling and you're not sure where to start, think about that. Think about the connections in your life and what has led you to the things that you have now, and really write about those things. Think about them. I think that is a great example.
Well, Crystal, it's been a real pleasure to have you talk with us today, and I hope we have a chance to do this again. Thank you so much for being with us today. And again, mindfulgratitude.com, that's the place to go to get a copy of the book, and even for your workshops or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much, Larry, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Crystal Wendelberger, our guest today, and the book title again is Mindful Gratitude, Practicing the Art of Appreciation. You know, one of the things I appreciate in life is the fact that there's an ice cream shop that's located about a block and a half from my house. Sometimes it's not a good thing, but most of the time it is. And we're going to be switching gears and talking with you next about the science of ice cream and maybe being grateful for ice cream. Next on the Ideas Network.